Hello and welcome to our time of study today. We're going to study about a very wonderful aspect of the Christian life today. It's something we should desire to have in our lives. It is certainly something that God wants us to have in our lives. We're going to begin reading today from Galatians 5, beginning in verse 22, verse 23. We're going to read about the fruit of the Spirit. We're not going to talk about all of the things that make up that one fruit, but we're going to talk about one important thing. In Galatians 5 and 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now those things are what God wants us to produce in our lives. In other words, this is what a Christian ought to be. A Christian ought to be a loving person. A Christian ought to be a joyful person. He should be a person who lives at peace. He should be a person who is long-suffering and gentle and good, faithful and meek and temperate. That's who the Christian ought to be. We're to be joyful. That's one thing that God wants Christians to be. Many times we're not joyful. We are grumpy. And that is the opposite of joy. God doesn't want grumpy Christians. He wants us to produce joy in our lives. Certainly everyone who's read the Bible a little bit knows Philippians 4 and verse 4 says for us to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Now, the person who penned that by inspiration was in jail. He was in prison. And yet he still taught that we are to be rejoicing. This is God's plan. God's plan is for Christians to be happy. We're to be humble. We are to be good. We are to be kind and faithful and prayerful. We are to be people who sing and help the needy, and we are holy people. We are to be many things. But we should all desire to be happy. Don't you want to be happy? Isn't that something you would like for your family, for your congregation? For you to be a happy person in a happy church, happy family. That's what we should desire. And this is what God wants you to be. You don't have to have a reason to be happy. You're just supposed to have that attitude. That's God's desire for us. Now let's talk about some things that can produce happiness in our lives. First of all, we are going to heaven, so the Bible says focus on heaven. If you want to be happy, start looking to your future eternal home if you are a Christian. Colossians 3 and verse 1 says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth." That's oftentimes our problem. We're focusing upon the things upon the earth and not upon the things that are in heaven. The things that are upon earth will disappoint you and will discourage you. That's why Jesus, in that wonderful Sermon on the Mount, said this in Matthew 6, 19 and 20, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." That's why when we put our focus on the things upon the earth, we're going to be disappointed. Rust and moth consume, thieves break through and steal. And then in the very next statement, he says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where rust and moth doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. If you want to be a happy person, stop focusing upon the things upon the earth. The things upon the earth that most people want do not produce happiness. Some people want fame. Some people want notoriety and attention. That will not bring happiness. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, godliness is pursuing the things that God tells us to do. And that is to be joyful and to be content. Verse 7 of 1 Timothy 6 says, For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Food and raiment, the very basic things in life. He doesn't even say a house. He doesn't say a car or a cell phone. Having food and raiment or clothing, let us be content. And then he says this. Now, this is why we don't want to be focusing upon the things of the earth and pursuing them. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9. But they that will be rich, not the rich, but those that want to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lust. That's not joy, is it? Hurtful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Evil doesn't bring true joy, which while some coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That doesn't produce happiness. So we need to focus on heaven, not upon the things in this earth. You know, John would write this by inspiration in 1 John 2:15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? It won't produce happiness. He goes on to say in verse 17, For the world passeth away, and the things therein, but he that fears God will obey or will endure forever. So if we want to be happy and produce joy, to be a Christian as God wants us to be, let us focus upon heaven and not upon the things of the earth. But number two, let us have the right friends. Let us associate with the right people. The blessed man of Psalm 1, the very first chapter of the book of Psalms, the very first verse of the book of Psalms says, Blessed is the man. Now, this is a man that has happiness. He has joy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, a happy man realizes that not only should we focus on heaven, but we should not have the wrong kinds of friends. The Bible clearly says this in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Evil companions will not bring joy. They will bring sin. Sin brings sadness. When Peter warmed himself when Jesus was arrested that night, in Matthew 26, 69 through 75, Peter took up with the enemy. He started warming himself by the fire of the enemy. He got the wrong friends. And before that night was over, it says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He hung around with the wrong friends. Did not produce joy for him. It produced bitter tears. Because with that crowd and the influence and I guess his fear of them, He denied the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it three times. And it did not produce happiness. And so have the right friends. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, it talks about the church being together. The church eating together. The church fellowshipping together. And it says, with gladness and singleness of heart, Acts 2 and verse 46. They had the right friends. They had the right fellowship. And it produced joy. So God wants us to be a joyful person. What do we need to do? Well, we need to stop focusing upon the earth and start focusing upon heaven. And we need to keep the right associates. Let's be around Christians as much as we possibly can. Let's be friends with them. Let's pray with them and study with them, worship with them, eat with them. That's what they did in the first century. And that's what we can do now. And so let's be seeking the right things. Let's seek the things that God tells us to seek. But let's remember something. Let's first of all look at heaven. Second of all, let's have the right friends. But in the next place, just remember your blessings, and that'll bring joy. Remember that God is always with us. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." I will not fear. You know, fear doesn't bring joy. And if we count our blessings and realize that God is always with us, he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, we can have the greatest security in all of the world. God is our security system. And we can be happy with him. Let's remember that if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8 and verse 31. Let's remember our blessings. That God is with us. That we have fellowship with God. 1 John 1 and 7. As we walk in the light, as he is in the light. And let's remember also that God can work all things together to them that love him, even to them that are called according to his purpose, Romans 8 and verse 28. And so we can have joy. Joseph, in the Old Testament, experienced some pretty rough times. He had 11 brothers that hated him. They couldn't speak peaceably to him. They sold him. He didn't see his parents and his family for over 20 years. But when they finally got back together, his brothers were afraid of him. But Joseph said, "What you did to me, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good." He was not going to hold a grudge. He was not going to be bitter. He was glad the way it turned out. And that's Genesis 50 and verse 20. He said, "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good." Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that wonderful? Count your blessings. God is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. We have such a great life as Christians. But also let's remember that God answers our prayer. 1 John 3 and 22. "Whatsoever we ask of him, we receive, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." He answers all of our prayers, not some of our prayers. That ought to make us happy. We have power in heaven working in our favor. We have the forgiveness of sins. That is a great blessing. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That ought to make us happy, because sin will cause us to lose our souls. God's wonderful grace, Christ's wonderful blood causes us to have fellowship with God because He forgives us of our sins. And then remember your blessing that one day when the Lord comes back again, there's going to be a great trumpet sound. And this is what's going to happen. If you are faithful, this is what's going to happen to you and me. And I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." We're not all going to die. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." See, we're going to hear a trumpet sound. "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Oh, what a great day that's going to be. This is good news. This is exciting news. We don't know what we're going to be, but when He shall appear, we'll see Him, the Bible says, and we shall be like Him, 1 John 3 and verse 2. Just count your blessings, and that will bring joy to your life. Hang out with the right people. Seek the things that are above, not the things that are upon this earth. This will produce joy in our lives. I'm happy just talking about these blessings. Then the Bible says in Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12, and when you're feeling down, think about this verse here. It says, "Blessed are ye when men shall persecute you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." It says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Whatever suffering we do in this world, we're going to receive a great reward. That reward is going to be greater than any suffering we can experience in this world. Heaven is not going to last for 5 or 10 minutes or 10 years or 1,000 years. It's going to last forever. And we can rejoice over many, many things, many eternal things. Our God is powerful. And our God is caring and forgiving and merciful and patient and loving and kind, and we can be so happy that we have such a Heavenly Father, that He causes our cup to overflow with the many, many blessings that we enjoy. We wake up on peaceful mornings. We go to bed in peaceful nights. God cares for us. Psalm 100 tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, that's what God wants us to do when we come to worship Him. He wants us to come in those doors and be happy. And when the song number is announced and we turn our songbooks to that song, let's sing with happiness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. You're not God, I'm not God, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. God makes the rules. And God says to rejoice, and again I say rejoice. He's given us a wonderful and good, rich life. And He says, you come before my gates with singing, and you be thankful and you be glad. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Oh, and how He has blessed us richly. Oh, how He has made our lives so wonderful and fantastic. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We're still reading in Psalm 100. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. and bless his name. People say, I didn't get anything out of worship. Now, worship, that's not what worship is, that you get something out of it. Worship is where you give something to God. You give him praise. You give him thanksgiving. You need to be concerned, did I give him enough today? Not, I didn't get anything out of it today. We need to be more concerned with that. Listen to verse 5. It says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. God is such a wonderful, wonderful Father to us. We ought to be so very thankful. You know, God took care of the children of Israel as they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Whatever they needed, he provided. If they needed a victory, he would give them one. If they needed deliverance, he would give them deliverance. If they needed food, he would give them manna. If they needed water, he would give them water. God, that's God's record. His record is good. He brings comfort and joy to us. Food, aren't you glad to eat food? Isn't that joyful? Isn't it glad that he's washed? That's a glad thing, that he's washed our sins away. That's a wonderful thing. So joy is really a decision that we make. We are free moral agents, and we have a choice. You can be like the world and be grumpy and gripey and complain and be miserable, or you can be what the Bible says for you to be. Romans 12 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind. You're in control of your mind. God's not in control of your mind. Being joyful is a decision that we make. We can either walk in the narrow way or we can walk in the broad way. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. We can decide to be happy or we can decide to be sad. We make the decision. I read one time where they were taking a woman to the nursing home and she was going to be a resident at that nursing home. And on the way over there, they were saying, oh, this place is wonderful. They got good beds. They've got good staff. They've got, you'll like that. And she says, oh, I'm going to be happy there. I'm going to be very happy there. I'm going to love it. And they say, how do you know? You haven't even seen it. And she says, oh, I've already decided. I've already decided I'm going to be happy there. You know, we're in control of our lives. We need to do the same thing every day. We need to say each and every day, I'm going to be happy with the day. If you choose to be sour and cranky and a whiner and miserable, then you've decided to disobey God. If you're just miserable for no reason, now if you're sick or if you've lost a loved one, we understand. But when your refrigerator is full and you're home sitting in a rocking chair and you're doing fine, you need to be rejoicing. You need to be happy. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't you want to be strong? Don't you want to be obedient to God? Sure you do. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Look up to God, not to the earth. Surround yourself with Christians and good people, not the old miserable people of this world. Remember all of your spiritual blessings that you have and be glad and make a decision to be happy. It's your decision. And so let's bear the fruit of the Spirit. That's the verse we started with. We are to produce joy in our lives. Let's do that. Let's be the happy and glad people that God wants us to be. Thank you for listening today. My name is Richard Massey. I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. We would love to have you visit with us if you're ever in our area. Thank you for listening. We hope to see you in our next class. Same time, same place. Thank you for tuning in. May God bless you. Continue to study your Bible and pray. Be a happy person. Be glad. Be joyful. Because God has been so good to all of us.